Well, hey, everybody, welcome to the Orange Kids podcast, where we talk kids ministry and discuss practical solutions to our week-to-week challenges. My name is Mike Clear, and sitting around the table with me today, I have my co-host, Gina McLean.
How are you doing?
Hi, Gina. And Kellen Moore.
Hey!
Hi, Kellen.
Hi, Mike.
Hi,
guys. You were more peppy than I was.
Oh.
I need to get peppier.
That was a little, that was very unpeppy of you.
I had some coffee, so.
You have some coffee. All right. You're still waking up. I got it. All right. Well, we are here for episode 18, and today we are going to talk about this whole idea of, well, we've talked about on the podcast before, partnering with parents, and what does that mean? So when we talk about partnering with families, it can mean a wide variety of things. People may think of family events. They may think of putting kids into a parent's service, like a Sunday morning service, and calling it a family service, where it's really a service designed for adults, but you just put kids in there and have like a 5-minute, you know, kid sermon, if you will, kind of a thing. Or the opposite is true, that we put an event for kids and then parents have to go and endure those things, right?
Right.
Have you ever been in an event for design for kids that had parents not in mind that you had to endure?
Like a maybe an elementary talent show?
Oh.
Yeah.
Have you been to those, Kellen?
Yes, talent show, I think, takes the cake.
Talent show.
Kellen, you're such a good children's pastor.
I go to those things, and you get like 5 minutes of, yeah, that was my kid, and then, oh boy.
Well, what's the worst is like when it's your kid, and they go in alphabetical order, and your kid's last name is like V, and you have to sit through everything, and you're just like, oh.
Here's the thing, is when you commit to a seat, though, like if you don't get on the edge, it doesn't matter where you are in the alphabet. You're stuck, you know?
That's true.
It's not like you can get up and slip out after your A's are done. You got to stay right there and listen to the whole thing.
You can't. Eyes of judgment if you get up and slip out early.
Eyes of judgment.
You can do it everywhere.
Especially if you're 6'7".
That's true.
Oh, boy.
So we've all been there and sat through that. But again, like I mentioned earlier too, sometimes we just think the opposite of saying, well, let's just put kids in a family service, give them a coloring sheet, and then have a 5-minute sermon and expect that to be this enriching experience for them when kids are checking out and they're bored and you know, they're on their iPads or they're coloring or they're disrupting or they're doing something to do that. So what we wanted to talk about today is, what if there was a third alternative? And what if there was creating an environment designed for both parents and kids to have an engaging moment, to have this experience together that they would both enjoy? And when we talk about doing something like that, we refer to it as a family experience, what we call it FX. And parents, I think, when it comes to looking for something to do together as a family, I think with Christmas coming up in a couple of months, there is no better time to plan something for families than at Christmas time. Would you agree with that?
I would totally agree with that.
Why is that?
Families are looking for things to do. They're looking for memorable experiences.
Yes.
Especially around Christmas time, things that they can do together. So it just seems like a prime time to be able to take advantage of that.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things, like you could take even an unchurched parent, okay? Not even in your church.
Very true.
Who is not intentional a whole lot with their kids throughout the year, but there's something about Christmas and wanting to create magical memories, whatever it may be, that kicks in, which is why they go to go see Santa at the mall, to go to the Christmas play or the production that's in town, or to go and we're going to go and play in the snow. We're going to go get hot chocolate. I mean, Nick, there's enough events in your community, I'm guessing, that have something to do with Christmas. And some parents are like, we're going to go to every single one of these because we're going to create a magical memory.
And a lot of it is because they're drawing back on the magical memories that they had as a child. And they want their kids to have experiences like that that are equally as memorable, that make that level of impact. And so they're just the fact that you've got parents in your community that may not be a part of your church that are looking around for something like that.
Yep.
The power of that. You just don't have any other week out of the year.
I think Christmas is that apex of families looking for something that can be engaging, because you go from Halloween time. So you have October, you have Halloween pumpkin patches. Mm-hmm. Some of that stuff can be free. Some of that stuff can be cheap. And then you go to Thanksgiving and there's obviously parades, especially if you're in a smaller community, there's parades that happen around that time. And you have Christmas, where people want to be a part of. And what we are talking about with FX, you have Christmas, Jingle Jam, something fun, something free. Mm-hmm. But the cool thing about this program is that you have then the follow-up. Then you have the next month that comes where people are still like, man, I saw something that was awesome, saw something that was life-giving. I want to go back and see what they have.
That's really true.
So it's a great lead into the reinvestment into church with families.
So creating a Christmas party big enough for the whole family is what we're going to talk about today.
Woo.
And we're not just going to say throw a party just to throw a party. We're going to throw a party with a purpose. We want you to throw a party that's connected to a bigger strategy. We want you to throw a party that's not just going to be an enjoyable one-time experience like you just said, Kellen. It's going to be something that you're going to draw back up on days later, weeks later, years later down the road.
Can we have balloons?
Sure.
All right.
Absolutely. All right. So today we are bringing our friend Carrie Hood from Village Church in Hayesville, North Carolina. Hi, Carrie.
Hi.
Woo.
How are you? Welcome.
Fun people at the table.
We're so fun, Carrie. So fun.
You are.
So,
do we have to tell her? If we have to say we're fun, then are we really?
Trust me. We're not only fun, we're funny, right?
Whoa.
We got.
I mean, I didn't go that far. So. I'm kidding.
So we wanted to bring Carrie on because Carrie's a friend of ours, and Carrie has a great story revolving around this whole idea of creating this Christmas party big enough for the whole family. We call it around here at Orange, we call it Jingle Jam, and it's a program that we put together years ago designed to help families do just what we're talking about today. But Carrie, I would love for you to share your story with Village Church and why you guys decided to do something like a Jingle Jam, creating this experience for families in your church, and your community.
Sure. We're in the mountains, right on the line of North Carolina, Georgia line, and we are in a very rural community. We are a small church. At the time, we were, I'm trying to remember, I think we were a year old when we decided to do Jingle Jam, the very first one, renting space. So the room we were going to do it in is the same room we do service in. It was, you know, not a lot of resources. We were literally, I think we were a year old when we did Jingle Jam. And we had done one FX at the time, if I'm remembering correctly. This was about 5 years ago. And my pastor is a big fan of Orange. He's a big fan of what Orange provides. So he, you know, had was the one that said, let's try a family experience, which is something we had just done. And then we knew there was this Christmas experience. And what Andrew Brown, our pastor, loves is the idea of putting families in a room in a shared experience that is fun, relates to everybody, but also to do it at a time where you can kind of have the heart of Christmas really land on a family. And here's what I always say about Jingle Jam. I believe when you engage people, everyone in the room, not just the kids, not just the adults, when you engage everyone, that's when people listen. And when they listen, they learn. So you start with engaging people. And my husband and I will tell you that before Jingle Jam, I don't know that we had an experience that engaged our whole family with the heart of Christmas being at the core of it.
Right.
And Jingle Jam's just one of our favorite things of the entire year because it does that. So my church decided we were going to try this. Very limited resources. We have, I mean, at the time, I think we had like 100 people attending on a Sunday.
Wow.
A lot of kids, though, attending. And so we certainly didn't have, I guess we had some budget. I'm sure there was something on the line.
But
there was some coins in the couch somewhere around there.
But we just, I don't know. We're just, our pastor, Andrew Brown, and I both think similarly. Like, we don't necessarily think through all the details of how we're going to do it. We're like, we know we're supposed to do this. We prayed about it. We will figure it out.
Right.
So, and we did. I mean, we decorated the corner. I won't say a stage. There's not even a step. There's literally no stage, a corner of a room, because there was a door to have an exit and entrance. And we had the church use all their Christmas decorations to decorate it. We knew we had a host and a comic host, and we had families that we knew would attend, and we kind of just jumped in and didn't spend a lot of money. And it was great. We did it on a Wednesday night, and there was just something about the script and the programming of it that felt like it fit with what we were looking for, of laughing, celebrating, but also the heart of Christmas, the story being there.
Yeah.
But it was just done in a way that everybody thought it was great. It wasn't like the parents were sitting there, you know, bored, or the kids were thinking this is boring, this is for adults. It engaged everyone in the room in a way that you felt like the spirit of Christmas left with your family.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And
that's powerful.
That was enough to say we're doing this again. And then basically fast forward 5 years, we now have 750 people attending at a historic community theater in the center of our town. We do it over 2 days, 3 event times, maybe adding a fourth this year. Not because we're trying to get bigger. That is never our goal. And I will push back every year on that.
Yeah.
It's not to up do the year before, it's because we don't want a family missing out.
Right.
Yeah. And we were on the verge of that happening this year, of not having seats for families.
So you're just responding to the demand. Yeah, basically, you're responding to people who are responding to this.
Absolutely. And in our community, a free event at Christmas time is a big deal.
Yeah.
A lot of things cost a lot of money. And if you've got three kids and, you know, like I said, we're in a rural town and just it's a different kind of opportunity for parents to offer them this free event that is so engaging and fun. And we, you know, we have hot chocolate and cookies and pictures and we decorate it. Like, it is just amazing. And we said we want people to pull into the parking lot and start smiling.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That's what this is going to be. And to feel Christmas in the air.
Yeah.
And I just think Jingle Jam does such a great job of having fun and relevant to kids and adults. But also, I call it landing the plane. And about 3/4 of the way through Jingle Jam, that plane is landed so beautifully, of the heart of Christmas and the Christmas story and Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then we, you know, we pick it back up with go out and celebrate the season. And here's what we want you talking about. And I just... there's something about it. My husband said there's just something about Jingle Jam. I don't know what it is, but it reaches our family, and we hope it reaches families in our community.
Wow.
But at the very least, they came together for 45 minutes to an hour and celebrated Christmas together in a way that everyone left feeling like they were part of it.
God.
So we'll leverage what we have to leverage for that. And it's now part of our church DNA. And it is... we have so many people serving. The one thing I do want to point out too is we're doing this for our community, but there is not one thing we do throughout the entire 12 months of the year that bonds and unites our church like serving together at Jingle Jam.
Yeah.
I cannot put into words, I have goosebumps, what it has done for a church like ours to have us serving alongside each other in Jingle Jam. So that wasn't the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think one of the things you mentioned, you flew by it, but the first year you did your Jingle Jam, it was at your church, for your church, and invite your friends. And I was there that night, actually.
Yes.
Me and a couple creative team came up there and surprised her and watched it. But then the next year, you guys decided to make a strategic shift and take it offsite and take it into your community.
I love that.
And that was huge. So like, what was the decision behind that and why to do that? Because that, I believe, is what changed the focus on everything going forward.
I think one, we thought we could, because I think it's written and in a way Jingle Jam is that it's not a insider church thing. You know, it wasn't a village church event.
It's not a nativity scene play thing, right? That's not what it is. It's designed to think of the community in mind.
And absolutely the Christmas story is there and it's powerful and it's wonderful, but it definitely didn't feel like a, you know, church specific or village church or denomination specific thing that we can only keep it in our walls. But also space, we're like, I don't think any more families can come except our own families, and we want to invite some people. So it was a space issue, and we just liked the idea of if we want to open things up to a community sometimes, but it's still at your church, you know. And this just seemed like a really neutral place to have it. And so we have a community theater, and we met with them, and they said, sounds great. And they gave us a great discount to rent the space and it gave them a lot of exposure, because not everybody goes to see plays. I'm an actor. I can say that.
Right.
And so the theater, you know, was giving them exposure from people coming that have never stepped foot in that space before. Yeah. And we did one event. And at the end of that, we're like, that was a lot of work for one, one event.
So you started rolling out more.
Well, and people came and we're like, I think more people want to come. And you know, the more we opened up seats, the more now we have an online reservation system, free. But
wow.
So you go online, and I mean, we had to cease all of our marketing efforts 2 years ago because we had not even marketed it yet. This was just the word of mouth of families inviting families, and we were already completely full.
That's powerful.
I'll say one thing that you said that I think stood out. I live in a bigger city out in California, so there's a lot of competing things where it's like a lot of churches in the one city that we planted. So it's like we have all these churches. A lot of people commute to Orange County or Los Angeles, so there's a lot of things that people where I'm at can go to. But one thing that you said that's really stood out to me was for your community, smaller community, so people are looking to do things during the wintertime. And I just want to encourage anyone listening to this, if you are at a smaller church or in a smaller community, this is like Jingle Jam's a really easy win. Yeah. Getting people together for a common purpose to share the gospel, but also to invite the community who's looking for something to do, looking for families to engage. Mm-hmm. But then also, if you're at a larger church in maybe bigger communities, this is like a quality win. Like Jingle Jam is great material that, yeah, you don't need to be the biggest and flashiest, but if families know that there's quality in what you're doing, and even in the title, Jingle Jam, doesn't say Christmas, doesn't say Jesus. It says Jingle, which reminds me of Jingle All the Way, which reminds me of Santa, which reminds me of Christmas. So so even the title is a really good invite without overexposing, you know, hey, come here and learn about Jesus, which is obviously the point. We want people to know who our Savior is. But it's an easy invite. So I think that's awesome that you're capitalizing on the fact that you have families in your community that's like, hey, let's get out there. We want to do something that's fun, that's engaging. But then you're also like, well, we're going to tag Christ in there and you guys are going to have some life change. So I think that's awesome.
Help me with this. I mean, what would you say about this, Carrie? What I love is the fact that you went into a community setting, you know, which means that there are people who in our community that would come to something like this because it's in the theater,
right,
and not in a church.
Exactly.
You know, so they're going to be more open to it. And yet I can, you know, admittedly, where I can get stuck a lot of times is I love the idea of doing something in a community setting, maybe at the auditorium at the local high school.
Sure.
Right? Just down the street from me.
Right.
And yet at my church, I've got all the bells and whistles I need in my auditorium, whereas I would have to rent stuff if I wanted to match what I have available to me in my auditorium. I've got to rent stuff for that high school, right? Mm-hmm. But what I hear from you is Jingle Jam doesn't necessarily need a lot of high amount of technical equipment. Is that accurate? I mean, you can add it, but is it necessary?
Well, it's not necessary. I mean, that's the thing. It's such a flexible. I mean, if you could see where we did it the first year, and it was great.
It sounds like
see
it.
Where we do it now, and it's great.
Yeah.
You sure. go as big or as small with production value as you want. I personally think those first years are often the sweetest years in your ministry when you're starting something because there's so much heart behind it and it's not about the production value.
Yeah.
You know, I've been involved with ministry production for so long that I've seen like you gain and you lose something the bigger you go, right?
Yes,
and there's a sweetness in those early years when you don't have as much, you know, technical components to it. I mean, for us at the what's great about a theater and many school auditoriums is they have a lot of all of that. You know, they have the audio visual capabilities and they have the screens. And so it's really not for someone in your church who's technical, and every church has those people, it's not me.
Right.
They know how to transport what needs to be transported and not be such a difficult thing. And you know, for us with this theater, the other thing too, we would never move it because now it's become this event that happens in our community. And it really, I don't know that everybody even knows that it's Village Church hosting it always. Right. We're careful about how we present that, you know, that this is not a bait and switch. You know, we don't shy away from it's our church, you know, hosting it, but that is not, you know, I don't want someone in our community to feel like I came to this thing and now it's just a ploy to get you in the church. No, we just want you to know Jesus, you know, and hear of Jesus at Christmas time. But really the goal is just to have families there experiencing this, engaging, so they listen, so they learn, and maybe our win is that they go home talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love
that's
that.
That's it. If after that the next step is they don't have a church home and they come to our church, you know, that's wonderful. Right. But if we can just get families beginning a conversation about faith, you know, at Christmas time, that is our win. And the stories we get just make it all worth it. I mean, we had a family that is, you know, we had the whole broken, you know, divorced family, you know, like they've been through a lot that year of a divorce, and their kids are in Village Kids, and the entire family was there. The mom and her boyfriend and the dad and the kids. It was just like, and they came to that. It was a safe place for them to come and engage. And we had a mom who wrote us a letter going through a really hard time, and her kids didn't really want to go. And she's like, we're doing this. And they came, and she's like, they didn't stop talking about it. I just needed that time with my family at this time of year. Like, I needed it. There's something about Christmas where we crave it as a family. I'm going to make sure my kids, like, you know, we embrace it. Yeah. And you look around, you're like, what, you know, we're busy, and how do I find that place or that thing that helps me do that? And I think we're all burdened as soon as we pass Thanksgiving with how am I going to bring, you know, Jesus to the center of what we're doing this holiday season in a way that my kids respond and we all, you know, feel like we have the reverence.
Yeah.
And Jingle Jam just seems to do that.
It's touching right on attention that parents feel most of the time, because the holidays especially, we feel like we're being tugged in multiple different directions, right? Yeah. Especially a family who maybe mom and dad live in two different homes and kids bounce between the two. And what you're talking about is something that can bring them together in a way that what else in the community would bring a family together like that, where, I mean, especially around the holidays, Christmas dinner is filled with tension if mom and dad are divorced, and now you've got them in, under the same roof, you know, and yet you've created a, through Jingle Jam, created this environment where they're actually laughing together.
Right.
And they're actually enjoying this experience together. I mean, that's powerful.
It is. And, you know, we even have a children's home, and we make sure that that whole place, they come, and all these kids who are currently in a foster situation. We have a lot of grandparents raising kids where we live. And that's even harder for them to find. It's been a while since they've been in that place of knowing how to foster those conversations.
Yeah. Of course.
I want to say, well, Gina brought up the technical aspect of what you need and what you don't necessarily need. To put something together like Jingle Jam, what are some key components, people-wise, things-wise, to make this awesome?
Yeah, because I get it. You know, you don't need another event, right? And I don't think this is another event. I think there's something special about Jingle Jam that's worth taking a look. And so the first thing I think is, if you're for families, and this is for, you know, all families in your community, when do you have it? That makes it not a burden. And we've tried different things.
Yeah. Easter.
Jingle Jam.
Christmas and Easter.
It's different. Plenty of distance. It's different. Plenty of distance. Yeah.
9 a.m. on a Saturday.
Oh, my God. It's the worst time ever.
And we've played around with that. We had it on a Wednesday night when we first... the first time we did it, because there was a lot going on weekends during the holidays. And then we've played around with that. So it's different for every community, different for every church. But when do you have it that is going to create the best opportunity for families to attend? Families of all kinds. You know, you got to make sure you're thinking of all families. Where do you do it? That's a big one. And for us, it was where can we? Like, where do we literally the first year have the ability to do this? Because sometimes I think, I just was listening to one of the recent podcast, and was talking about, it's not about perfection, it's about excellence, you know, doing the best with what you have. That landed all over me, because I am a smaller church with limited resources. So perfection is something different. Excellence, just when can you do it that sets families up for success? Where can you do it? That's the best place you can do it. And it, like I said, ours was literally the corner of a room, and we turned all the chairs around, and it was great. So it doesn't have to be grandiose, but where do you think is the best place you can do it, given what you have? What we really use to this day, even though it's, you know, you could say it's kind of exploded from where we started to how we do it now, we still use what Orange provides in terms of, this is where you should be 8 to 12 weeks out. Here's the teams you need.
That's awesome.
You need this person, you need a technical director, you need somebody handling your props, you need you need a greet team, you know, it goes through what you need.
So
whether you blow that up and have 20 greeters or two. And we, and it says at 8 to 12 weeks out, here's where you need to be, at 4 to 6 weeks out, at 2 weeks out. And we still will check in and follow that to make sure we're on track.
Wow.
And it's excellent. Smart. Like I said, whether we did it in the corner of a room or now doing, you know, looks like probably 4 event times this year across 2 days at a community theater, that timeline and that list of teams is so important. I could spend time going through all that. I don't have to, because it exists. Orange provides all that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I love that. Something that you said before we hit record was that first year when you were setting up in the corner of the room, how you got all of your props, how all of that came about. People just bringing their Christmas decorations. And by the time you got it all put together, it looked like grandma's attic.
Grandma's attic.
Yeah.
Like you took everything from grandma's attic and decorated it at Christmas time. But what was fun is our entire church got to see all their Christmas decorations up there.
I love that.
And it created hype, because it was like, we had people without children coming. Because what is it you're using my, all my Christmas lights
that's
for?
That's Nana's lamp from, that's awesome.
we just put out a community.
Are you talking about the leg lamp from, from the Christmas story?
Absolutely. 100%. And it, you know, we just put out a community-wide, I think, a Facebook post. We sent out a village church, you know, V-mail is what we call it, and said, we need Christmas decorations over the next 2 weeks. Drop them off anytime, you know, that the church doors are open.
That's so good.
And it was super fun, and it just had a feel to it that made it feel like, and it was that unifying piece that I said that it's done
together
for our church, and it created hype, and it was
so
special.
It's so smart, because that's like, it's in marketing. You're like, you're telling your church, hey, bring something. So they're like, oh, remember, wife or husband, we have to bring that thing to this event that's for these families. And like you said, it gets that buzz of like, hey, invite the neighbors.
Something's happening.
I always say this when I talk about whether it's family experience or Jingle Jam, when I'm talking to other churches or other people, I'm like, don't think we can't do that. Think, how would we be able to do that?
Yeah.
That's powerful.
That's really good.
Don't think we can't. Think, how can we? Yeah. How is it possible?
If it says I need these things, like, well, we can't possibly do that. Okay, well, let's say, another church, you know, makes it snow at the end. Well, you can't do that. That's expensive, right?
Yeah.
What could you do that gets across the same thing, which is kind of an ending on a big note, right? You know, I mean, is it balloons? Is it some kind of song you break out into that creates hype? I mean, just, I always think, what it says this, what's the point of this?
That's good.
What's the purpose of this in it? and how else could I achieve that purpose?
You know? How else can we get there?
You'll come up with something.
That's awesome.
They always say that limited resources is your best foundation for creativity. Yeah. You know, and when you've got limited time, you have limited space, limited whatever it might be, you can get real creative with that.
Yeah.
I'm getting excited about Christmas right now. I'm starting to get really pumped about this.
Love me some Christmas.
It's fun to talk with church leaders who institute Jingle Jam, like what you said, to hear their stories, whether it's for the third year or the first year. I've talked to so many who've done it for the very first time.
Yeah.
And they go in there with all the things of, well, we only have this space and we only have this budget or we only have this. And it's like, great, you got everything you need. Go. And there's like, okay, we're going to do it and it's going to be great. We think somebody's going to show. And then it's always, I love seeing their posts, especially on Facebook, when it's just like, oh my word, God surprised us. Yeah. And we thought we maybe have 100 people and 250 showed up. Mm-hmm. Like we thought we would have a couple hundred, 500 showed up and we thought we would have this. And again, it's not about the numbers. It's just, it's reinforcing what we've been saying. Mm-hmm. Families are looking for something to do together meaningful at Christmas time.
Yeah.
Lean into it, create an experience for them and watch what God will do. Mm. And again, I just think it's powerful.
Powerful. It is powerful. I like what Kellen said earlier. It's not in, but it doesn't terminate on itself. It holds so much promise for it to lead to something else. When you can give an experience to a family where a parent says, this is a place where I can come and I'm a better parent.
Yep.
You know, I have better conversations. I have a better connection with my kid. That's powerful.
Yeah.
And so if you can do that one event, that one year, and that can lead to, at minimum, it leads to greater trust with the families in your community because they look at your church in a different way. If they attach your church with the event, you know, they look at your church in a different way.
Yeah.
You know, beyond that, it's possible that they may come to your church outside of that event and then get connected. And then you've got a whole new opportunity of being able to invest in that family. Absolutely. So it holds a lot of potential.
One other thing that I just want to say, which kind of goes along with don't think how I can't do this, think how I could, it's making it your own. I think there can be a hesitation and it's a perfection-based lens you look through to think, well, I can't do, or I don't know if we can do it exactly like this. So how, it's like, well, make it your own. What is something that's, you know, in its essence, Jingle Jam, you know, that you could do? And if it isn't at a community theater on a, you know, Saturday night, what could you do to get this started? Because I will say, once people see Jingle Jam, they get it. Mm. So your challenge could be the first time, though, is how do you communicate what it is to people who haven't seen it when you haven't done it?
Sure.
That's something that it can be challenging. And I tell people, create your elevator pitch. What's the two sentences to describe it so they realize this isn't a pageant? You know, it's not a Christmas play. It's not a worship experience.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not just for kids. Like, you really got to figure out how you're going to talk about it. Sometimes creating a funny video in the vein of it, you know, which you can do on an iPhone. I mean, anybody can do that to promote something with your host and comic host. We'll do banter.
Yeah.
You know, Carl, my comic host, and I, that is kind of in this tone of what Jingle Jam is, and say, you want to see more of this, you know, of Carl and how he gets in, you know, learns the heart of Christmas, come out to Jingle Jam. So I think that's important, because what I hear from people is that once they see it, like, I don't know, there's just something about Jingle Jam. You just got to see it.
Yeah. You just got to see it.
I'm like, but they haven't seen it. So we got to figure out.
I think, like, in describing what Jingle Jam is, I like the tagline of, it's a Christmas party big enough for the whole family. People can identify with that. But then it's like, yeah, but is it like, I think about Disney, who are great at creating experiences for family, but at Disneyland, where we would take our kids to, I would say, you know, it's not a ride where you sit and watch.
Yeah.
Think of it as the parades. The parades would come through and you guys experience, there's a little bit of watching, but there's also interaction with the music and with the characters and all the stuff. So it's like the parade experience at Disney around Christmas time to do that. So
And it engages all the senses.
All the senses.
Right. Yeah. We've got, we advertise it as a Christmas party big enough for a whole family. And we give an idea of, you know, it's a 45 minute experience, but the fun starts in the lobby with pictures and hot chocolate. And when you leave, there's gift bags for the kids. And one thing I do love about Jingle Jam too, that makes it different, because again, I think there's something different. We don't need another event. We need something that is engaging that is families. True. There's a charge at the end, and we make it our own. There's these, by really having families leave with something to do. So we give them the ornament that Orange provides. We love them. And we say, one night between now and Christmas, you find one night as a family to sit together at your tree and talk about whatever the theme was. Talk about one thing you're going to do to show compassion to someone in your community. Oh, and after you decide that, then you hang the ornament on the tree, you read the Christmas story together, and you pray. Like just if you can do that, then we're going to give you this ornament.
Yeah.
Can you do that? Kids, will you hold your parents accountable to doing that? You know, like and we really give that charge so that we, again, if our goal is that they leave talking about it.
Yeah.
That's different. That gives me goosebumps. That's interactive. That's not just watching something and then the end and leaving. It's going with you. It's traveling with you. And as a parent, I'm like, okay, I can do that. You just helped me figure out how to have a conversation, the ornament, the tree, one thing to show compassion, you know.
And it's not complicated. One of the things that we talk about at our church is we want to make sure that we keep that we always have low rungs on the ladder, right? So that it's easy to take that next step. Right. And that's what you've really just given them is a very simple next step that they can take that, again, it leads to dialogue that's memorable.
Yeah.
You know, something that they can draw back on, which is, if we go back to the beginning of the podcast where we talked about parents are looking for something memorable, memories they want with their kids, for their kids. And that's what you're putting a nice bow on that. Did you catch that? See what I did there?
Bow on
a bow.
And if you don't have the resources
I got you.
to buy ornaments, then you tell your family, we want you just to make we're going to give you a little, like, you know, a quarter page sheet that says, that's here's your family challenge, you know, make an ornament together at home, you know, hanging on your tree, or maybe you don't make an ornament, family night, read the Christmas story. And that's on a little postcard. Again, how can I do it?
Right.
Yeah.
Still really a family night, whether there's an ornament hanging on the tree or not.
Exactly. Yeah, great. Really that's good.
Great. Well, that is awesome. And all the stuff we've been talking about with Jingle Jam, the event, the script, the director's checklist, all that stuff is available for the first time for free. We're giving it away for free to everyone.
You get a jingle jam.
You can go to jinglejamfx.com and all the details will be there about how you can get Jingle Jam. We do offer an optional media package for purchase, which will give you videos and songs and all the extras to help you if you want to do that, but you don't need it. You can just execute Jingle Jam just with the free stuff to do that. But we're excited to put that in your hands so that you can use that to engage families in your community this Christmas season. So awesome.
I love it. What a great conversation.
Yes. Carrie, thank you for joining us.
Carrie.
I'm a Carrie fan.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that was happening.
I was a Carrie fan beforehand. I'm even more of a Carrie fan now.
I'm a everybody at this table fan.
Big fan. All right. Thank you. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Orange Kids Podcast. Thanks for hanging out with us and tuning into this conversation. And if you like what you heard and you want to hear more, then you can go over and leave us a rating and a review on our podcast. It really just helps spread the word for that. All right. Thanks, Carrie. Again, Gina and Kellen, you know what time it is?
Oh, it's time.
It's time to take us out with a little dilly Christmas style. Hit it.
Well, the weather outside is frightful, but Jingle Jam is so delightful. So go online, it's free, it's fine. That's Jingle Jam's song.
That was perfect.
Dude, that was your best one.